Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I am Matthew, and welcome to a Pappy's Flatshare house meeting.
Oh, absolutely right. Get in through the door of your own ear canal and make yourself at home.
Absolutely right. Do join us in your own ear canal for what's going to be a very funny show.
You've effectively Airbnb'd out your ear canal to three zany dudes who are going to take good care of your property.
Guys, we're going to be so wacky, but we're going to be respectful.
We're going to be wacky and waxy because we're in an ear canal.
Yeah.
We're going to be cleaning up on a Sunday morning with that kind of Airbnb. Yeah. Yes, we're going to let our hair down on a Saturday night. We're not going to break anything, and we'll probably run a Hoover across it before we leave on the Sunday.
Yeah. So, but not too early in the morning. We're not firing up the Hoover at 6 a.m. Don't you worry about that. We'll let you
we're
have a
little... We're not squares.
We're not squares exactly. But we'll be out at the requisite time.
Exactly. Yes. We don't outstay our welcome. So, yeah, this is a house meeting. Welcome to it. We've actually had a few bits of correspondence, which I thought we might want to chat about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you posed a few questions, Parry. You have done in the past. And this is from Minna. She writes via pappiesflatshare@gmail.com. Please do get in touch. Mm. Minna writes, "Hello, lads. I'm writing in on the last house meeting question of who is this podcast for?"
I mean,
it's an often one.
I kind of thought that was a rhetorical question, but it's good. I don't know if we want the answer to this, but let's have a look.
Well, here we go. Minna says, "There are times during the pod when you'll mention something before my time, being the young age of 22 myself. Ooh, and at that point, I will feel like, in the kindest possible manner, I'm listening to my three granddads talk about the good old days." Now, Minna, I'll stop the message there for a second.
I love that.
Granddads.
I love that.
It's not even listening to, like, 22, sure, I'm of an age where I can have a kid who was 22. How have I managed to not only get in a kid, but that kid's also had a kid in 22 years?
Oh, calm down, granddad.
It's true. Anyway, all I have to...
Have another word that's original and chill out.
All I have to do is nod along and say, "Did they? Really?" Then suddenly we're back onto Robert De Niro impressions, and it's solid ground for my listenership again. On a sincere note, however, the podcast is for all who enjoy a good laugh, and it genuinely feels like you're listening to your friends talking and laughing. Admittedly, apparently, according to Minna, those friends are 87. Stay well. Also, Matthew, hope you like Beckenham. I lived there until very recently, which makes it... I can't help but take that as another insult. As soon as she heard I moved in, she got the fuck out of Dodge.
Well, you're not in a cool up-and-coming area if old granddad's...
The old retirement village of Beckenham.
It's just quiet, all right? I just like it. It's just quiet. I can just sit in the garden and prep for
death. Reminisce.
But thank you, Minna. That means the world to us.
Thanks, mate.
Phil gets in touch via Pappy's tweet on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
"Please see attached stat chat convo with my 15-year-old and his mates."
Right. Okay, Minna, listen. We're reading a Snapchat conversation. How granddaddy can we be? Right? This is young. This is hip. We're one step away from a TikTok.
So Phil has got a Snapchat group with his 15-year-old and his mates, which I think is adorable.
Yeah, should we do this like a little play?
Okay, great.
Okay. Do you want to be Phil?
I'll be Phil, the dad.
You be Phil. I'll be Evie. And Clarky, you be Lewis.
Okay.
Great. Okay, here we go. "Kids, who's your Robert De Niro?"
Question mark.
"Who's he?"
By which I mean an actor who has been in some classic films from before you were born and is considered a brilliant actor by people your age.
Right. Okay.
Lightning McQueen.
Great joke. Idiot.
What about Leonardo DiCaprio?
Great show, EL.
Crap. Will Smith.
You know what? Two very strong contenders. This Leonardo DiCaprio and Will Smith. This is great. We've actually got someone like Phil with his ear to the ground. He's got the ear of the youth. He can tell us.
And this is music to my ears, because this is what I was trying to say. And look, listen to the youth of today. Who's Robert De Niro? Bosh!
Yeah. 15-year-old kids don't know who Robert De Niro is.
Will Smith is a great show, actually. Yeah. We didn't even look at that. And we had some... Scon, one of our mutual friends, he got in touch after listening and said, my 11-year-old nephew had never heard of Robert De Niro. He said Robert Downey Jr. Or his actual favourite is Tom Holland.
Well, I'm not going to accept Tom Holland. He's too early in his career to be that generation's De Niro. Wonderful performer, no doubt about it. But I like Downey Jr.
Yeah, Downey Jr. seems like quite a solid choice.
Because, like, obviously he's famous for Iron Man, but he's got some cracking movies prior to that.
Downey Jr. and Will Smith. Fascinating. Yes. Absolutely fascinating.
Okay. Next week we want, who is your Julia Roberts? Who is this generation's Julia Roberts? Is it Jennifer Lawrence?
Oh, big mistake. Huge. What?
Lovely stuff,
Clarky. You were so good at acting there. I genuinely got like worried that I'd done something wrong.
No, Jennifer Lawrence, good shout.
Thanks, mate. Right,
Amy Adams.
Yeah, strong.
Good. Yeah,
strong. Yeah. Good. Here we go.
Strong. Good. Three words, well, two words that we could use to describe this episode of Pappy's Flatshare House Meeting. Have a strong, good time, guys, and we will see you on the other side.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House Meeting. Meeting.
What temperature should we set the heat?
House Meeting. Meeting.
Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting.
Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting. Meeting.
What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
Do you know what game I miss playing?
What game do you miss playing, Tom?
Did you say that and instantly fart?
I got a quick fart out of there, yeah.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Is that the game?
I missed the game.
Is it like a sort of spot? Do you do a sort of spot the ball competition? Is that what it is?
Oh,
but it's,
man,
for other people.
I do where miss you, spot the ball.
Where you let out a little pop at some stage during the podcast and see if people can spot it.
There'll be a fart in every house meeting.
We could sell
sweepstakes. We could sell to listener dears. Everyone could buy a minute of a house meeting, and then wherever the parp is, you get to have a free time of it or something. I don't know.
I think when the competition is spot where the fart is, I think the notion of a free time of it is too vague to be appealing.
Okay, what about a tenner?
Yeah, everyone loves a tenner, don't they?
Oh,
who
my
doesn't,
god! Because then
who
you'd be on
a tenner.
You'd be on Tenterhooks listing, wouldn't you?
You'd be on tenner.
You'd be on Tenor Lady Pads. I know I am.
What? Is everything down there loose for you?
Well, if I'm going to be forcing out a fart every single record, then it's wise to take precautions.
It's a good idea. It's a good idea to double bag it.
I think it's more that you're forcing that you're only doing one fart.
You're not forcing out one, you're suppressing 300. So anyway, Tom, because this is quite a gross start and it's already turned my stomach, what fun game do you miss playing?
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide,
you know what?
And seek. And it, go on.
Playing hide and seek as an adult is really good fun.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, it's a game, I think, that gets better and better the older you get. And yet we don't 100%. Play it more.
When you play it with little kids, especially very little kids, it's bad, isn't it? Because the concept of hiding, they don't understand. And then once they're close to being found, they always reveal themselves.
Yeah. You're spending most of your time pretending you don't know that they're stood
behind the curtain, on one
leg, or whatever it is. It's like
sat like next to a chair, not even under it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think we give kids a false sense of security by not playing too hard against them on hide and seek.
This, for me, is why any of those movies where a kid has to hide just doesn't ring true for me. Like, for example, like The Quiet Place or something like that, you know, where they're like putting a hand over the kid's mouth and going, shh, yeah. Don't make a noise. Sorry, have you ever met a kid?
Yeah.
That is not in any way what a kid does.
Like the end of The Shining, it should be like he gets into the maze and Danny stood on one leg in the middle of the...
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like with his eyes closed and it's like, just because you've got your eyes closed doesn't mean Danny can't see
and
you.
And kind of laughing and shouting, I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. The end of The Shining should be more realistic.
Yeah. Like my my daughter, if you give her a scare... She runs towards the scare.
Amazing.
Well, I think it's because also she runs towards me to sort of comfort her from the scare. But it is like, if you leap out and scare her, rather than running the opposite direction, which
she
is
she runs towards it.
She runs towards it, leaps heroic. In.
Maybe heroic. Your daughter's just got the makings of like a superhero, though. She's just like, I run
she'd
towards
be a great
trouble.
First responder.
Yeah.
She's yes. fight. Yeah, she's got the fight instinct. That's what it is. I don't know where she's got it from, because it's not from me.
I was just thinking, if you professionalised up... hide and seek, there could be something in it,
because they play right? Tick, don't they? That's like a new, well, I've seen it like as an event.
Tick's not new.
Or tag, what do you call it?
It
tick.
It,
we call it it. Yeah, you're it.
We call it tick, but I think a lot of people call it tag. But yeah, there's like events that they have, like proper sporting events of tick where they have got loads of obstacles and they're diving around doing it like one-on-one.
There's like a parkour element
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, it's like 30 seconds.
And there's also kabaddi, wait. Isn't there, which is kind of essentially
no, but kabaddi's like a real sport though, isn't it, kabaddi?
Yeah, but it's like, it's heart, it's tick, isn't it, kabaddi?
I thought kabaddi, now... I'm going to try and explain what I think the rules of kabaddi are, because actually, as you mention it, they sound mad in my head. Has somebody got something tied to the back of their trousers or tucked into the back of their trousers?
It's like tick.
You go. You've got to keep saying kabaddi.
You've got to prove you're holding your breath, and so you do that by saying kabaddi.
You say kabaddi, 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 and then, oh, you've just got to touch them, have you? Because I thought it was they had something tied to the back of their trousers that you had, or like tucked in the back of their trousers that you would pull. I mean, maybe that's what we did because I think we did it at like Cubs or Scouts or something. Maybe we did that to avoid it being too much of a contact sport. So
Kabaddi was big on Channel 4 back in the day, wasn't it?
They showed kabaddi on Channel 4, yeah, yeah. I never watched it.
So my question is, right, if you were going to... Because, like, right, I've been watching quite a lot of BT Sport through the night at the moment. And
yeah.
They're crying out for shit to put on the telly, right? If we made hide and seek a legitimate sport...
Yes.
Don't tell me it wouldn't. It'd be a really good watch.
Is it not Celebrity Hunted?
No.
So talk us through
Celebrity Hunted is across the whole country, isn't it?
So it would have to be within a house. Is that the idea? So
like hide and seek. Like when you play hide and seek, you don't go fucking. You don't get a bus across town, do you?
Well, I do. That's the. It's always been the thing that stopped me from ever really kind of being accepted in the game.
Yeah,
I've been a maverick. No,
like, oh, where's Crosby? Oh, he's in Derby.
No, but when we
I was looking in the kitchen.
But when we talk about the version of the big version of Tig, that's massive, isn't it? That's kind of over a whole town, isn't it? When we talk about the
no. It's in like a very small area, but there's lots of obstacles. So they have produced it up.
Right.
I'd say what my favourite version of hide and seek is hide and seek in the dark.
Yeah.
Would it be like that?
Yeah.
That's your sexy version, isn't it?
Whoa. Well, it was never sexy when I played it. He'd be like, should we turn the lights off, to have a little sexy time? And then it'll be like, where are you? Oh, we played a game.
Clarky, we played hide and seek in the dark loads of times together. And for me, it was always sexy.
We were having
two very different experiences of the same thing there. That's really interesting. It was just me and you playing as well. That's the weird thing. Yeah. I think I think what we're talking about is you need a regulation playing field. So, and this is what I was trying to work out in my head last night, was like, I think you'd have a like standardized house. Okay. Not a million miles away from finders keepers, but like, it would be like, there would be a design for every house, because that way then it's not about the house, it's about the players. So you would know every, like if you went to Belfast, there would be, you go, it's be like going to Laser Quest or Quasar. You'd have the same house built everywhere in every town.
Oh, like the Queen's ensuite.
like the Queen's ensuite. They would be the rules that apply to the.
So it would be a standard. So there would space. There'd be no new. Like, so it wouldn't be like you could travel to particularly good ones. It wouldn't be like, say, escape rooms or park runs or something like that. Where you could go, you've got to play Belfast. You've got to do the Belfast one. It's absolutely out of this world.
And then it's like all like Formula One. It's like, what's this circuit like?
Yes, because I feel like you want people to sort of do multiple hide and seeks, don't you? But once you've played the room three or four times, you've cracked it, haven't you, if it's the same room every time. But if you're like, right, I can the Bromley one, I can do that one with my eyes closed. Not a great way to play hide and seek, but I could do it if I wanted to.
If you want to make it sexy. Yeah.
But yeah, this is a good
because
idea,
from a spectator point of view, like, there's nothing more satisfying than watching someone look for something where you know it is. Yeah. That's why I think that is like a really good way of watching something.
But also in terms of making the putting it on telly, you know, to put it on BT Sport, the idea of having like heat sensors and stuff, there'd be all different ways of viewing it, you know.
Head cams,
yeah, you'd have those. And
each house would have lots of handles and shit in it. So then it'd become about like, people would be like upside down and shit like that. Pros would be like, you could contort. You know, like, you think about who the competitors are going to be, and it's like, it's going to be, oh, that guy can hold on to a wall for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, that guy's like an ex-mountain climber. He's got great grip strength. This guy can kind of, get into a box.
She's a ballerina or something. She's a gymnast.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like,
magician's assistant.
Who's the dude in Ocean's 11 who can fit inside a box?
I was thinking of him.
Yeah. That guy. You want someone like that guy where he's actually, it's not plumbed in, so it's okay, but he's in the loo.
We're getting back to it. X-Files. Eugene Toombs.
Eugene Toombs is playing, of course.
Eugene Toombs raises his ugly head.
ugly, very long head.
That should have been my Halloween trick on you, Crosby. One day I will do that. You'll go to the loo on Halloween and there'll be a Eugene Toombs lookalike in your toilet.
Oh, I'd love it. You'd run towards it,
wouldn't you?
I'd leap right in. I'd join him. We'd be splashing around. It'd be like a hot tub party. I like the idea, actually. This would be good. You're on the loo, right? You're sat on the loo and out of the cistern comes the Eugene Toombs type figure. That would really scare you, wouldn't it?
He's doing a top deck.
Yeah, he's top decking it, yeah. Imagine that. I mean, the perfect place to be if you're going to shit yourself.
House meeting.
The socks only useful for putting your feet in.
House meeting.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Did you ever play Kiss Chase?
Yeah.
It was definitely played at school. I haven't got particularly strong memories of playing the game myself. What was the...
I feel like the idea of it was so strong that I don't remember actually playing it.
Yeah.
It's like, did I actually play it? Or did we try and play it? Because, like, it doesn't... In fact, I did play it. I've just had a very vivid memory of me grabbing Rachel Lloyd and kissing her. It doesn't feel very...
Let's not tell all of these stories because we don't want to get you cancelled.
It doesn't feel like a healthy game in hindsight, does it?
Well, it's really...
I mean, everyone agrees they want to play.
Yeah, of course. And the thing is, what I remember about it was desperately trying to get away from being kissed, managing it, the game ending, and then me being really sad that I didn't get kissed.
Yeah.
And you go like, perfect.
You didn't have the nous to be bad at
but
it.
But also I think that's like how you are.
He's just too fiercely competitive.
That's how you are at that age with kissing.
Things you've got to know about Charles Clarkey. Ferociously fit. Tremendously athletic.
I mean.
And also very, very confused as to what was and wasn't sexy. if it had been played in the dark, he would have basically lay spread eagle on the floor and said, come and take me.
Were the simple rules of Kiss Chase just you're grabbed, you get kissed, then you go and grab and kiss someone?
Yeah. I was going to ask, how does the game start?
But what you're ticking with is your lips.
Is your lips, yeah. How does it...
Yeah, but in order to... You can't kiss someone without... You'd have to wrap your arms around them to kiss them, otherwise you're not going to do it. Like, think about how hard tick is and then think about playing that with your lips. You've got to employ
game.
The arms. You've got to employ the arms at some point, else there's no kissing.
Yeah, you've either got to have like incredibly, incredibly agile lips that you're gonna stretch out, ooh, like that.
Jagger, yeah,
exactly. Mick Jagger. I bet Mick Jagger was phenomenal at Kiss Chase because he's already quite sort of like rubber limbed anyway, isn't he?
Yeah, lots of moving around.
Yeah, definitely. Are
you saying if we're doing a celebrity Eugene Toombs, Jagger's on the list?
Yeah, I bet Jagger has been to at least one showbiz fancy dress party as Eugene Toombs. There's no ifs or buts about it. There's not a single doubt in my mind that Jagger has shown up. Maybe he's got Keith and Bill Wyman to dress as Mulder and Scully.
Oh.
Because it's one of those things. You've got to really emphasize the character. If you go as Eugene Toombs on his own, it's gonna be a lot of explaining. But if you go as an episode of the X-Files, the three of you, great. Charlie Watts isn't going at all.
Did you do any costumes for Halloween this year, or did you skip it? Did you do any indoor costumes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. I mean, you know this because we. Oh no, you weren't there, were you? You didn't do the Halloween Zoom quiz. You missed it. Yeah. So Charlie, lots of effort. You know, went and ordered like makeup and stuff. She owned a dress that looked like a kind of Wednesday Addams dress already, but bought a Wednesday Addams wig from Amazon. Did a really, really good job. White face, center parted wig with the pigtails. The dress. We bought a little skeleton suit for Cleo, so she was in a little skeleton suit. And then on the day, I was like, I've not done anything at all, so I bought this. I've got it here actually. I bought that. That's a rubber Tyrannosaurus Rex mask.
Wow.
I bought it in Sainsbury's. It doesn't look great.
No.
But I got that.
The mouth, for those who can't see it, the mouth opens a little too wide.
Yes.
It feels like the mouth's going to reveal a lot of your face.
Well, yeah, basically, it's like a balaclava. It's like a rubber balaclava shaped like a T-Rex. So your entire face is coming out of it.
Right, so you're kind of going as someone being eaten by a T-Rex.
Yeah, I'm going as the lawyer from Jurassic Park who's just been...
Oh, okay, I don't mind
just
that.
He's been yammed off the loo.
What is it with you and your costumes and toilets, Matthew? Why all of your costumes involve being on the toilet or in it?
What's your real fear in life, Matthew?
You will always find him in the toilets at parties.
That's true. But then actually, fortuitously, on the afternoon of the party, we had an armchair delivered, and the armchair arrived in a perfect kind of white bag that fit over the body. So I then, with Sharpie, drew on little eyes to look like a ghost, and I came as a ghost.
And, did you have a T-Rex thing on underneath? Were you the ghost of a T-Rex?
No, but later on, because I was a bit warm and I couldn't see in my costume, I took it off. And so I was a man with his shirt off, with a ghost draped around his shoulders, and the head of a T-Rex balanced on the top of his head, who was also
pretty
drunk.
Unique. That's a pretty unique Halloween costume.
I don't think anyone else is doing it this year.
You're not going to get another one of those at Jonathan Ross's party.
I didn't see David Walliams cracking that one out, no.
I tell you what, this year felt all right not to be invited to Jonathan Ross's Halloween party, didn't it? This was the one, you know, it felt like everyone was missing out this year, so that was okay. Other years, oh, it stings like hell, doesn't it? You're waiting for that invite to arrive and it never arrives.
I know. Come on, Rossi. Come on, mate.
You are
obviously famous for your love of fancy dress, you know. No
obviously
one never
not
got
famous enough.
Not famous enough, no.
I'm not famous enough for my love of fancy dress. You know, everyone has their own kind of benchmark of success. And, yes. You know, in fact, I think I told this to Clarkie the other day. Obviously, Bobby Ball very sadly passed away.
Really sad.
Really sad. And at the same time, like, watching the tribute, it was, like, incredibly heartwarming to realise just how, like, it gives you a chance to reflect on just how much someone has made you laugh over the, like,
Yes.
He had really made me laugh.
Cannonball on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Used to make me absolutely howl.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously it was really tragic that he passed, but also like it was a real chance to kind of celebrate someone who was properly funny. And on the news the next morning, they were interviewing his son and he said, he taught me an important lesson about success and performing. And, you know, how to reflect on success. And I kind of thought, oh, great, this could be like a mantra I could use in my life. Yeah. And he said, my dad always used to say, if you can do what you love and pay the mortgage by doing it, then you're a success. And I kind of thought, oh, damn, I needed less than that.
Benchmark, please.
I thought, damn it, I really thought that was going to be it for me. I thought I could start counting myself as successful. But
he always said, if a global pandemic has forced you out of your home and you now live with your mother-in-law and a brand new baby, then you're a success. Yes, Bobby.
It didn't.
He reads me like a book.
It didn't quite deliver just as I was waiting for it.
What do you think your benchmark for going, oh yeah, that's the level of success I'd like to have.
It might be getting invited to Jonathan Ross's Halloween party.
Because you've certainly talked about it. I think it's because it's such a celebration of your true love of fancy dress.
My
by the way, is getting a blowy from the Queen.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, blowy from the Queen. My benchmark for success disappeared. And so I will never be able to experience success because we'd go up to Edinburgh to perform at the Edinburgh Festival. And like the first 3 years we performed at the Edinburgh Festival, there was a huge mural on the wall.
A mural
on the wall of like all the best kind of most loved Edinburgh acts over the years. And like every year they'd add to it and there was space on the mural to add to it. These cartoons, and I always used to think, when we're successful, we will be on that wall, and that was my ambition in life.
Right.
And then after 4 years of going up to Edinburgh, they stopped doing the. They retired it.
They stopped updating. Yeah. And they just took it down and never put it back up.
And like, I think then 2 years later, we would have got on that wall, but the wall wasn't there anymore. And that was how I would consider as successful, I think. And now it doesn't exist. I feel like I'm in a post-success
Tom world. Tom. No, you're not. You've just watched Field of Dreams.
Yes.
Make the next mural.
Interesting.
Make the next mural.
Hang on.
Make the next mural.
But then, am I just going to be a man drawing myself on a wall?
Yeah, you'll 100% be that.
No, but If you spoke to the people at the Pleasance, if you spoke to Anthony at the Pleasance, right, and said, look, for charity, the charity being the Pleasance.
Charity being, oh, I thought you meant charity being Tom's own opinions of success.
No, he'll get the emotional charity of it, of course, but like that's just charity in itself, isn't it? For the Pleasance, why don't we get people to sponsor a big mural? You know, all of the proceeds go to the Pleasance, who's going through a tough time at the moment. They've just had to cancel all their November shows. We're supposed to be there in December. Are we going to be able to do it? We don't know. We'd love to be. We love the Pleasance. You know, this is what you're saying to Anthony. And then when the mural, which you get Clarkie to paint because he's a good artist. It's just you, a big portrait of you. And then maybe behind you is Bill Bailey and Johnny Baker, or something. other acts who've done well out of the Edinburgh Festival. Jenny Eclair's back. You know,
if they bring the mural back, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We're not getting on.
No,
it.
That's the
what,
thing.
What I'm saying is, 2009, 2010, we're getting on it. Now we're not getting on it. Like we missed our sweet spot to get on the wall.
Yeah,
and maybe if someone made a podcast wall, you might go, well, maybe listener dear would chuck us in there, but I don't think we're getting on the podcast.
I mean,
wall.
There kind of is a podcast wall, and it's like the iTunes chart, and, and we don't get on it. now we're no longer new and noteworthy. That happened about 10 years ago.
So that, you know, that's it. That cartoon on the mural, it's not, you know, that's the that would have been success for me. But
I tell you what you should do, Tom, is you should, whenever you think of that in your mind's eye, just think what we're doing. We're there. We're just playing a really good game of hide and seek.
Oh, I like that.
Love it.
We're hide and seeking from success.
It's a choice.
Success is looking for us, but oh, we're not going to let it catch us. What's your mark of success, Clarkie? What have you got in your head?
To be able to pay my mortgage.
A wise man once said. Yeah. Fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if only. There's that, I think the bit that, you know, they say, like, if you enjoy what you're doing, you've never worked a day in your life.
Yes, that's
another phrase, isn't it? That's
find a job you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah. And, you know, my dad is always telling me that I've never worked a day in my life. So there is that.
That's also true. Find a job you love that just you're not that good at, and you'll never work a day in your life.
Or never get a job, and you'll never work a day in your life. That's another way of looking at it.
It's a hell of a mantra.
But truth be told, if I did get invited to Jonathan Ross's Halloween party, I think I'd be too nervous to, I think... You'd have to be a certain level of I belong at Jonathan Ross's Halloween party to go for a really good costume. Because if you go for too outrageous a costume and people don't know who you are, it might feel a bit gauche.
Well, but here's the thing: what if your costume is an incredibly, incredibly realistic rubber mask of someone much, much more famous than you?
You'd go as David Walliams.
I'd go as Walliams. Yeah.
Walliams isn't as tall as I remember.
Yeah.
Also, why is he hanging around in the toilet all this time?
But here's the thing: I'd have a Walliams. I'd be like, was it Krang? You know, inside the big body.
Yeah.
Because Walliams is like 6'5". He's huge, isn't he? He's much broader than me, both comedically and in stature. So I'd sit inside a little suit. Like in Aliens, and I'd be operating it from inside, and everyone would be chatting away to Walliams, and everyone would go, "Wow, Walliams, this is a bit of a straight down the middle costume you've come as." you've come as yourself from earlier on today. It's just him wearing. Oh, actually, I suppose no. It does have to be Walliams in a costume, doesn't it? So it's going to be let's
Walliams
not...
with a latex T Rex on his head.
Yes. So right. Here we go.
Here we go.
It's going to be quite warm, but here's my costume, right? It's a full dinosaur costume, right? Inside the full dinosaur costume,
yes,
is a full David Walliams costume.
Paper mache.
Well, I would think we want to make it out something a bit more sophisticated than paper mache. I don't know if you've seen Walliams up close. His skin is gorgeous.
Okay.
Doesn't look like it's been...
You just varnish it afterwards.
Yeah, you need to buff it and varnish it. If you're doing papier-mâché Walliams, you've got to buff and varnish to within an inch. So then I've inside that, yeah, papier-mâché Walliams costume. And then yes. Actually, let's not go papier-mâché because I'm not famous for being very movable. Arms and legs. Basically, what I'd be doing is putting casts on my arms and legs like I was in traction. Yes.
Keep you flexible.
Sort of, yeah, some sort of articulated rubber costume.
Right.
That's inside. And then inside of that is me, but I'm also dressed as Peter Pan because, you know, I'm at the party as well. So I've infiltrated the only tricky...
You're like a turducken, a fancy dress.
Exactly. I'm a turducken, I'm a Russian doll, I am... But crucially, I'm at the party. The only thing is, Walliams is also going to be there. So when I'm revealing myself to be Walliams to people, I need to reveal myself to be Walliams to people who Walliams is not going to chat to. Okay, so if I run into Amanda Holden and she goes, "Who are you?" I just go rah and move on, right? Because I know they're chatting, right? But if I run into somebody that he's had a famous falling out with, for example, Boy George, then why am I making this more complicated than it needs to be? I tell you what, I'm not that bothered about the party.
I'll go as a ghost. Pop a sheet over my head, sharpie the eyes.
Exactly. I mean, sharpen the eyes. Ask if I can go as Nish Kumar's plus one. He'll probably say yes. Let's do this.
Perfect. You're in.
House meeting.
For what belief would you take a beating?
House meeting.
So there you go. Everything we wanted to deal with, dealt with.
Absolutely right.
Listener dear should know, when that conversation came to a stop, there was about a 2-second silence, and then we went, "Is that it?" And we all went, yeah, I think that's it.
That's about it.
So, well, you know, sometimes it just comes to a natural conclusion, doesn't it?
What sometimes happens is I will talk and I'll literally, because I didn't have the images of you in front of me on the Zoom. I just had my my QuickTime and the emails we're about to read. And I didn't know if you were still there.
Yes, I mean...
When I got to the end of describing what it was going to be like, me breaking into Jonathan Ross's party, I genuinely didn't know there have been times on a Zoom chat, by the way, where the Zoom has crashed on me and I've carried on talking and I've just not known, just not noticed.
Yeah. It was kind of hard to know how to add to your idea of dressing up as... a T-Rex as David Walliams, yes, as yourself, and you did. Know, you know, there's no toss not saying it. That. Yeah, exactly. That. Let's not say you drove it into the ground. Let's say you elevated it into the trees.
Yes, absolutely. Either way, I crashed. Yeah. Whether it was the trees, the side of a mountain, or deep into the sand, Crosby crashed the podcast.
Look, it's too soon for a post-mortem. I don't want this to be a post-mortem or an analysis of where it went wrong, but...
Post-mortem is what you do after something has died, so it's very judicious. You don't say post-match analysis. You said post-mortem there. Let's see what the cause of death... There's no denying... No, a post-mortem very rarely ends with the conclusion, well, he's alive. You know,
He was breathing.
Oh, it's no, not normally. Yeah, it's not normally a good end either, is it?
No.
It wasn't a peaceful cause of death. He didn't pass away smiling in his sleep from a post-mortem slap.
No. So, well, thank you for listening to...
He really hit the ground with some force.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to my last will and testament there.
Still, you know, if you get to the ripe old age we have, you know, it's good to go out with a proper bang, isn't it?
We'll bury you dressed as David Walliams, dressed as a T-Rex.
Dressed as Peter Pan on the inside, of course. Let's not forget that.
There you go.
No, you know what? That's I'm going to leave that to you guys. I'm going to leave the Peter Pan costume to Minna, my granddaughter. I'm going to leave the Walliams costume to Clark in. I'm going to leave the T-Rex costume to you, Parry.
Oh, great.
Is that it?
Okay. We're back here, are we?
I'm not going to lie to you guys.
We're still talking about this, are we?
I'm not going to lie to you guys. I had some work I was supposed to do this morning that's now gone away. So I've just got free time. I'm just enjoying the chat.
Yes, right. Okay, yeah.
That actually is the measure of success, I always think.
Yeah,
I've just invented some work that I need to go and do. So
okay, I understand.
Can't try and get myself up on that wall.
Well, we've got to, of course, plug the Patreon, because it goes from strength to strength. The Patreon, we have a really really fun time over there. We're putting out these episodes three.
I was about to say it fluctuates wildly. I'm so glad you went with it. Goes from strength to strength.
Parry, mate, come on.
This is why you're never getting over.
It's almost like you don't want to pay your mortgage.
No, I'll tell you what's going on at the Patreon at the moment. There is now, you can give us, if you're enjoying what we're doing, you can chuck money our way. And it used to be, it had to be in dollars, but now it's in pounds.
Yes.
And so you've now got the option of being able to chuck a couple of quid our way. And I must admit, it does feel a lot more tangible and more real now that it's in pounds.
Yeah.
When it was in dollars, it felt like something weird that podcast people did. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, I completely get that.
You know, you'd always hear podcast people be like, oh yeah, I'll give $10 to this, or that's $5 to that. And it'd always be like, it's a bit like when British people try and get into the NFL, try and get into American football. It's very hard for British people to talk about American football without sounding a bit like a knob. And
how's your podcast going, by the way?
yeah. I mean, that's part of my problem. You know, I'm into the NFL. I really struggle talking about it without sounding like a knob. And I think it's very hard to talk about giving dollars to a podcast. It just sounds like, I don't know, appropriation of the American way of life. I don't know. I completely get it.
We do have plenty of American listeners, and big shout out to all those American listeners. You can also donate in euros as well. We have people all over Europe listening.
You can donate,
please.
Listen,
you can donate in euros, in dollars, I think in lots of different currencies. But anyway, get to patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. You get all the episodes, all the bonus episodes straight away. You can start listening today. There are some people who've listened to the entire Patreon in like the space of about a week, and God bless them.
That's some
good listening. But if you enjoy these shows, and
just think of it as buying us a pint, a London priced pint, I would say.
Exactly. Well, they're closing the pub, so you know that's
exactly. And you don't even have to buy us three pints. You can just buy us a pint, and we'll share it between the three of us.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly right. £4.50. You get all the bonus.
Three straws.
Have a London pint. Ask for three straws.
Yeah.
And listen away.
And the you know, the reusable
or the paper ones,
because you got to think of the turtles.
Listen,
Krang. I'm back to Krang. Listen, guys, hear me out. My costume idea has got genuine legs.
Please,
it's not just got legs. It's got two sets of legs. In fact, three sets of legs.
It's got six legs.
It's got T-Rex legs. It's got Walliam legs, and it's got my legs dressed as Peter Pan inside.
I might have to pop off, guys. I'm afraid to say.
Yeah. Sorry. Actually. Oh yeah. I've just got some work coming. You want me to come and pay the mural? Just got to pay this mortgage
right now. So.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, guys. It's been really wonderful. Today's episode has been produced by, you know, change from the usual producer. David Walliams produced today's episode.
I wondered why you kept dropping his name.
Walliams team. No, of course, it was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team. Cheers, everyone.
Bye.
Ho ho. Will you please be upstanding? People of Nottingham, please be upstanding. Yes, absolutely. We're in the East Midlands today for our Neighbourhood Watch Patreon roll call.
What a wonderful day it is here in the East Midlands.
Tied up in knots.
Shane Meadows.
We're having a nice time, and that's the plan.
Welcome to Nottingham
with George Cup. plan ho!
Oh, I tell you what, we're having a nice time here in Nottingham. Oh, let me tell you now, Nottingham is it's a wonderful place. If you're walking along the pavement, wait a second, who's this? Where's
Alan
this guy
Partridge?
From?
I'm sorry. All right, guys.
Oh, don't go into a Savile impression. That's very. Let's make sure we don't do that.
Oh dear! And now you've put that in my head.
Oh dear! Well. Neither now nor then. Oh, well, let me tell you, if you walk on the pavement, don't step on the cracks, or you might meet Ed Jacks.
Welcome to Nottingham with this lovely fucker. It's our good friend Tom Drucker.
Oh, he's a lovely fucker.
A lovely fucker.
Well, I'll count you up from 1 to 11. The speaker, that is, of Colleen O'Sullivan. It's not very good, that.
Oh, dear.
Oh, welcome to Nottingham.
Let me tell you now, I'm having a wonderful time here in Nottingham. Yeah. I'm having a great time. And we're all having a nice time. And a few different friends have come and visited me recently. And,
Alan Bennett.
The great thing is, Mother, if you've got friends, you'll never be bored. I said that to Owen Rutherford. We're in Leeds now.
This is like Spitting Image, I imagine.
I do believe the two key impressions in Spitting Image this series have been Paddy Considine and Alan Bennett. And people say it's lost its edge. I don't think so.
Get that Britbox, guys. Go on. I'll tell you what. I've had lots of friends visiting me recently up in Nottingham.
Oh, yes.
I've been lovely in Nottingham. Tell you one of them's a fickle one.
What a fickle man.
It's Mark Nicholson.
Oh, it's a fickle man, Mark Nicholson.
Welcome to Derby. And it's my pleasure to open this new branch of Dunkin' Donuts. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
For this morning only, it's free when your donuts are Dunkin'.
Oh.
But only until 12 o'clock. So don't go mad, Hal Duncan. Oh, God, I'm so sorry, everyone.
Listen, it's all right. Listen,
but the branch is now open.
All right. Here we're in Leeds, you know, we like to have chips with a little bit of meat sauce, you know. Maybe it's a lamb sauce, or maybe it's a beef sauce. We like all kinds of gravies here. We like all kinds of gravies, even ones that emit from the body of Justin Davies. I've had some Davies gravies on me chips.
Oh, mother.
I can feel the soil falling over me head.
Oh, no. I've had a nice cup of tea and I sit down on my favourite throne.
Oh, yes.
With my favourite good friend, Peter Ovenstone.
Oh. Hello. I'm live in Nottingham.
Hello, I'm alive.
Hello, I'm alive in Nottingham, and I'm here opening this new Amazon warehouse. That's right.
Oh, yes.
And I've got a very important message from the Amazon founder, Jeff Bezos. He says, all those boxes you see are free, but only until 11. So don't go crazy, Claudia Devos. I can see you.
Did you try and Claudia Devos with 11?
This rhyme goes all the way up.
Well, it's we're having a lovely time here in the Amazon warehouse here in Leeds. Let me tell you now, a dreaded summer's day. So let's go where we're happy and I'll meet you at the cemetery gates. Oh, the cemetery's closed, is it? Well, I guess we're going to have to plan again with my friend, Tiny Shenanigans.
Yes.
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 Yes, indeed.
It's a yes from Nottingham.
It's three yeses, you're through to the judges' houses.
Now, in Derby, we're in the break room in the Amazon warehouse. In,
you break it, you pay for it. That's the rules in this room.
We've got a variety of drinks. They're all different gravies.
Oh, no. You thieving bastard.
But unfortunately, they've all been drunk by the absolute deviant that is Mark Davies.
Oh, that's okay. They're free till 11 a.m.
You join me live from a Nottingham Amazon warehouse staff room where I'm interviewing a farmer. Oh, Christ on a bike! I don't know what to say. Have you ever heard of Steph Farmer?
Oh, Parry, you've got a really nice line in rhyming the word with the word.
Bless you for that. Thank you. It's an apology really accepted.
You know, well, please do. So here we are here in deepest, darkest Macclesfield. Oh. And I've had a wonderful day and a wonderful life.
What? But
yes, that's right. I am alive. But only till 11 a.m. when I will be dying live on Amazon Prime. So don't forget to get your subscriptions in, connected up to your Chromecast, and ask Alexa to show you my death. And don't forget, you can't get it wrong because it's live, so you've got to be careful with the timing. As I said to my friend and the man who will be murdering me, Alan Twining.
Oh, no.
Oh, good grief.
Oh, what an absolute shame.
Oh, it's a shame. It's a shock.
I haven't enjoyed any of this. It's the reviews are in.
It's like my life. I haven't enjoyed a second of it.
Oh, my God. The reviews are in. Oh. It absolutely ruined my lying. But never mind. At least I got to enjoy it with our best friend, Lucky Lion.
Well, that concludes today's neighbourhood.
I'm in Scotland to finish things off.
Oh, would you finish
subscribe
me off in Scotland?
To Amazon Prime, y'all!
Merry Christmas, everybody, and subscribe to Amazon Prime!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.